Hey, this is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Nolan Show. You're listening to part two of our October 21st podcast.
Okay, moving along. So anyway, that's your update on the immigration and
immigrate.
That's right. I thought this was interesting about Madonna. Madonna flew to, this was so funny.
She's a virgin.
Yeah.
I mean,
you got to figure that at some, there was a day when she was a virgin.
Yep.
Okay. Most women are that way. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, this, she went to someplace I can't even pronounce in another country that's hard to pronounce, Malawi, wherever the hell that is, I don't know. They went down there for some reason. I have no idea why, but they went down there to adopt a one-year-old boy. And the way in Malawi...
Who has a father, by the way. He does have a parent. So.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they adopted him, so or you could say they just took a boy from his
extracted
him. That's right. He doesn't have a mother, but he does have a father. And, of course, the father, you know, for the X million that he got,
right,
gladly he sold his child.
Right.
Sold
his
child.
No.
That is what it is.
Well, of course it is. But the Malawi government, of course, had to step in, being the geniuses that they are, and said, ooh, you know, are you circumventing our system? Madonna, you have to live here for 18 months, become a citizen, and then we're going to see if you're fit for motherhood in our country. And this is in a country, it says here, in a country where...
That's right.
Yeah. In a country where many face lives of disease, hunger, and premature death, Malawi is one of the world's poorest countries, devastated by AIDS and periodic drought. Now, let me ask you something. I got a newsflash for you. Okay, you got a choice. Here you are, kid. You can stay here. You know, we're not sure that she's really a suitable mother for you. You need to probably stay here in Malawi, or you can go with Madonna. You know, she could be, I don't know.
Oprah.
Well, Oprah's good.
Yeah, Oprah's. No, I don't know. She could be, I don't know, the vampire, for God's sakes, would be a better life. I mean, she could buy this kid
Hillary,
to eat it.
Hillary,
and it would be better. She could be buying
it.
This kid for dinner and it'd be a better life than this kid's going to have in Malawi.
So, how to cook for humans.
That's right.
No, how to cook 40 humans.
That's right.
No, there's more space nuts. How to cook for 40 humans.
So she went and bought this kid.
She bribed everybody in sight, and of course the...
You know what it sounds like? Sounds like the government there is now realizing that they didn't get their 10%.
Well, somebody didn't. No, well, I'll tell you who didn't. Let's see who it is here. It is some organization. It is the...
The Child Protection Organization that criticized
the... Let's see. Boniface Mondari of Eye of the Child. Eye of the Child, apparently, is some...
Eye of the Tiger!
That's right. Anyway, the Eye of the Child people are...
Eye of the Child.
They didn't get their 10% is what happened. So they're complaining. And they're saying, rightfully so, that she violated the law. Of course, she paid off everybody but the child. And that was that's the problem. So apparently the son is still there. They're going to stay there for a while to before, you know, they're going to fatten him up or something.
It's,
I don't know.
It's just
fatten him up.
Not in Malawi, I can tell you.
Well, no.
We won't get into it, but this part, why the heck did Madonna do it? Is this a ploy? Does she need promotion? Is she trying to win points with some, children organization?
You know, like, who cares?
Did she need another child? Could she not have another child? Could she not have adopted an American child here?
Again, these are questions that really don't even remotely concern me and shouldn't concern anybody else. What I'm showing up about this is that in a country where AIDS is the normal way of dying early and for everybody just about, or starvation, or every kind of privation you can imagine, that they actually have a court to begin with, number one, and that they have, and then they have a process, which is what you find in these little tin pot countries, is that they're all process and nothing else.
Right.
People are starving to death, but, you know, they're going to do the process. It's like that Brazil thing, you know,
right,
the movie Brazil. And, you know, it says the speed of Madonna's adoption process has outraged, mind you, numerous human rights and child protection organizations, all claiming this myth is a mockery of the established process of adopting children. It is unknown what effect, if any, the legal petition filed by Boniface Mondari on behalf of the Eye of the Child Protection Society would have on the case. They're all worried because it just happened so fast. Now, you think about it, in this country, you can go, even in this country or any place else, you can go and see kids that obviously are hurting bad.
Right.
And the parents are saying, look, there's nothing I can do about this. Why don't you take the child? And that ought to be all there is to it, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, there's no question. I mean, if I were Madonna, I'd get up on national press conference time and just say, look, here's where the kid lives.
Yeah.
Here's where I live.
Put that on YouTube and see what happens.
Put that on YouTube.
With a split screen.
Right. Vote here. Should I keep the kid? Is the kid better off here or there?
You know? But
regardless of what you think of my past.
Do not show the Thanksgiving platter.
The what?
The Thanksgiving Day platter.
What's that?
Filled with the kid.
Right. Apple in his mouth.
Apple in his mouth. Do not show the kid with an apple in his mouth. That's yep. right.
Mm-hmm. You know, why didn't you just give him enough money to, you know?
Well, you know, that's your thing. But again, it's none of my business. It's none of anybody's business. Right. It's, you know, shut up is what I want to tell these people. So, and moving right along, we are now, the noose is tightening up in the Great Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
The Coast Guard wants to arm, in spite of the fact that we've got nearly a 200-year treaty that says the Great Lakes are not allowed to have any machine guns and stuff on the boats on the Great Lakes.
All right.
Canada. Well, apparently it has something to do with the War of 1812. The treaty's been around since the War of 1812. Says we're not going to arm the Great Lakes. Canada and the United States are friends, and we're not going to be shooting at each other, even accidentally or on purpose or anything.
No slingshots of 1812.
No, that's right. No guns. Well, the Coast Guard said, whoa, terrorist alert. We want to put some really serious guns on our Coast Guard boats.
That's right.
And fire off a few rounds.
Regularly. Well, they're just fun toys, right?
Yeah, that's men and their toys. And you know, I think what's happened is that the guys that are patrolling the Great Lakes feel left out because the guys that are in the Atlantic, they get to go out there and blast away.
Well, it's kind of like the security guard at the mall. He doesn't really get to carry a gun. That kind of makes him, you know, a little bummed out.
Yeah.
He just gets the flashlight. He gets the flashlight.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He gets the flashlight.
And the kids mock him.
Right.
Well, the
right.
thing about it is there's pluses and minuses all over the place. Some of the people on the Great Lakes, apparently there's a huge Coast Guard station up there that pumps a lot of money to the economy. The people up there like it for that reason. They like the military. I don't know.
Lots of terrorist activity on the Great Lakes?
Zero so far, of course. But you never can tell. We want to be prepared with a 5-incher.
We're going to put Alabama over there.
That's right.
But
one of
the complaints was when the Coast Guard apparently showed up. I don't know if they actually showed up with a gun, but they found out about the fact they're going to put the guns, the big guns,
50 caliber or something.
No,
like
I mean big stuff, whatever. I don't know. They talk about these things can shoot 650 rounds a minute out 4,000 yards. You know what? 4,000 yards is what? That's a bunch.
That's a long way.
That's a couple of miles.
Mm-hmm.
That's a couple of miles. And so, of course, they're saying, some of the fishermen are saying, well, you know, we're out there fishing, and the next thing you know, bullets start flying around. They said, no, we'll broadcast and radio alert. And, of course, fishermen say, we don't want the radio anymore. And the other thing is, though, one of the problems with this that they came up with, they said, well, you know, we told you all about this. What's the complaint? It reminds me of the Douglas Adams, Earth at the end. What is it? The Doug Adams restaurant at the end of the universe, or the
we'll edit it in here.
I believe you're referring to the Hitchhiker's Guide.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, right?
But I have seen all those movies, and they are all good.
They are good. Well, at the beginning, of course, the Vogons come through.
The Vogons, and they say, "Well, you didn't see the warning we put up on Sirius 8 or whatever."
Yeah, Alpha Centauri, right. Whatever it is. And you know, we've been there for 50 years, right? Well, this is what the Coast Guard said. Well, it's been in the Federal Register. You should have read that.
Right.
Like it's normal. Like you get that in your daily paper. On
right,
the
right. That gets
point.
Emailed out like a Tiger Direct catalog to you every day.
Yeah, right.
Tiger Direct.
So anyway, they felt like they were trying to slip something past. And they were.
Right.
Let's face it. So anyway, they our treaty, the, of course, when the Canadians heard about this, they went, oh, not for us, eh?
Not beauty, eh?
Not a beauty idea, eh?
Hey, let's call Geddy Lee, man.
Yeah.
Bob and Doug, let's get him down there.
Yeah, that's right. The Great White North, eh?
It's going to be the Great White North.
They had to do an environmental study to find out if the lead in the bullets was going to harm the fish. Only when it goes through them.
There's one. Yeah.
That's the noose tightening up north.
Well, you know, and I mean, why not? God, I mean... I'm sure that our tax dollars are being very well spent to fortify that area.
I trust them. Right.
You know.
Next on my list, this is beyond belief. Brown University. I've been some friends of mine, some classmates of mine actually went to Brown.
It's in Boston, right?
It's up in that neck of the woods. Yeah, Brown. And they, I don't think it's actually in Boston. I could be wrong about that. You know, I'll get mail on that.
I don't know.
Anyway, the. Apparently they had some 18th century United States ties to slavery, and one of their, I don't know, somebody that donated money owned slaves or something like that back when slavery was legal.
Right.
And they want to atone for this, and what they want to do is to set up a whole new situation, a whole new course of study, very important for the business world today, I suppose. They have a committee on slavery and justice. And they want to hold themselves accountable for the past. They want to, what they want to do is they want to have some courses. And I'm trying to see here what real quick, if I can remember, if I underlined what they were going to be. They want to create a building and a memorial. They want to create a center for the study of slavery and injustice. They want to increase efforts to recruit minority students, which I guess, since it's for slavery, it's only blacks. I mean, minority, apparently if you're Alaskan or from the Fiji Islands or if you're an Indian, that doesn't count. You're not a minority anymore. Woman, I don't know.
I don't know.
Got to be black, okay.
I stand corrected. Brown is in Rhode Island. Huh? Brown is in the province.
Okay, right. Brown. Okay, that makes sense.
What if you're only partially black? You get partially.
You're brown. That's why they call it Brown University. Okay. That's why.
Okay.
You didn't get
right,
that.
I'm,
no, that's
I'm
good. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, the so the, of course the committee they've said they believe the recommendations are substantive and do indeed represent a form of repair. I mean, it's 200 years later. And they said that the house, University Hall, which houses somebody's office, was built by a crew that had at least two slaves. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, what are these guys thinking? I mean, you talk about somebody that has way too much time on their hands, way an education. Here, Brown University, revered Ivy League, what do you want to call it? And here, these guys talk about a waste of student time, money, everything you can imagine. I'm just blown away by this. It's a little late. And, they, of course, they point to other universities, University of North Carolina, Emory University, University of Alabama. There was a 2004 vote by the faculty of the Senate of the University of Alabama to apologize for previous faculty members having whipped slaves on campus.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Huh?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, let's move on. I mean, yeah. I just want to, you know, it's so stupid. That's right. I'm blown away by how stupid that is.
They're doing it worse by even bringing it up. Just let it go under the bridge.
That's,
you know?
That's a good point. You know, that is really is a good point. Why bring it up now?
Right.
Exactly. It is 200 years ago. Most of those people are dead.
I'm surprised. Except Bernsey.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm surprised we didn't hear from Jesse Jackson on this, though.
But, you know, I'm going to... there is a name. I meant to ask you about this. Maybe you forget what they call them. They call them racehorse. But the Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, of course, pop up every time, and they get paid. They get paid big money.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse, of course, gets laid, so that's nice.
Right.
You know, gets to have kids and not pay for that, or not have to atone for that.
The propaganda of the prosperity of it.
That's right. But they have a name for people like that that set up victimhood and then make money off of it. Somebody was...
Se llama El Diablo. Del Diablo. El Diablo. Del Diablo. El Diablo. Del Diablo. Del Diablo. Del Diablo.
That's it.
That's it.
So, yeah, the devil.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a name for it, and I don't think it's the devil, but they have a name for the people that whip up their constituency saying, you are a victim, and by the way, now I'm your leader, and you need to give me money, lots of money, and I'll show you the way not to be a victim. And these people didn't even know they were a victim in the first place. I mean, as I say, most of these people that were wronged in 1750, most of them are dead now. So
I'm a majority, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, I know, and as I said, most majorities. Okay, moving along.
All right.
I'm going to talk about, I don't know if it's correct on the order here, how bad things are going. Not it. Did you see this? Elementary school bans tag.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Yeah, and we did have another show where we talked a lot about a lot of the games that...
Well, dodgeball, you knew about. Then tag.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Dodgeball I can almost understand because one of the favorite things you do is...
Smear the queer.
Well, not only that, you smear the ball with something not nice and then...
Oh, that's gross.
Oh, yeah, we didn't do that.
No, molasses.
Oh,
okay. So dodgeball is out now. Now tag is out.
Tag. Officials at the elementary school south of Boston, banned kids for playing tag, touch football, or any other unsupervised chase game during recess for fear they'll get hurt and hold the school liable. I mean, this brings up another point here
about Cowboys and Indians.
No, you can't pretend to shoot.
You're not allowed, as you know, if you hold up your hand
and make a gun.
And make a gun. That's the principal's office.
You're a terrorist.
What?
Yeah, terrorist. Yep, you're a terrorist. Oh, no, you have to, you go get sent home for that.
What if you take a rubber band and you pull it back from your pointer finger and you wrap it around and you make a little rubber band gun and you shoot it at somebody?
That's probably not a good idea. I was wondering, what happens if you take out a 10-pound axe and hack your teacher in half? Is that a problem?
I don't know.
Columbine, something, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, anyway, the deal is... the thing that I get about this, elementary schools in Cheyenne, Wyoming, Spokane, Washington, also recently banned tag during recess. A suburban Charleston, South Carolina, outlawed all unsupervised contact sports. I mean, can you imagine tag is a contact sport? Okay, so anyway, the deal is You're allowed to still get, I guess you're still allowed to go on the swings in the jungle gym, which are more dangerous than tag, it would seem to me.
For a little while longer.
For a little while.
They'll get rid of those, too.
They'll get rid of those. I'm laughing at the article here. It says, recess is a time when accidents can happen. Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So is sitting in your bathtub. I mean, there's any time accidents, a meteor coming through the...
Could happen.
Yeah, did you see that? Actually, there was a German town that just burned down from a meteor that came down and crashed. And,
when?
Just like a couple days ago or something like that. No.
That wasn't in The Onion or some mythology or
No, it was in My Lightness, but I didn't bring it because I didn't think we'd talk about meteors, but...
See?
We can always talk about meteors.
See? You never know. I came real prepared.
No,
but they said the actual meteor that started the fire was like 10 millimeters in diameter when it finally hit.
Well, would it hit a lantern or something like that?
It hit a big propane truck.
Well, I saw that one.
Yeah.
That'll do it. Yeah. 10 millimeters, propane truck, boom.
Right. Yeah, glowing hot.
At 40,000 miles an hour. Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that was the meteor.
Well, again, we should focus a little less on tag and let's more about the Kolesnikov that they're bringing in or whatever.
Well, that's exactly correct. They have here, especially in Alachua County, a couple things. One is they've got... metal detectors and armed, mind you, if you can imagine, they've got, I think at least one of the schools here, they've got a sheriff's deputy or officer or somebody.
Officer Friendly at our school.
Was he armed?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Always.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Well, they have. That was
in the mid 80s.
Oh, my God.
So it's been going on for a long time.
Well, the thing about this that is between the lines on this particular article is that they say that they'll hold the school liable if somebody gets hurt. Now, one of the things they want to do here in this county.
Which is the taxpayers.
Right.
Well, yeah. But,
this is a private school we're talking about, right?
No, this is
a public school?
Yeah, I'm sure it is. An elementary school south of Boston. The point is, they're talking about elementary schools also in Cheyenne, Spokane, and Charleston, suburban Charleston, South Carolina. I don't know. I'm guessing.
Right.
I don't mind if it's a public school. If it's a private school. But the public schools, I'm sure this has got to be a public school. 90% of the schools are public or government run anyway. Now, the point about this, I'm getting back to this, the point on this, between the lines here, is you'll hold the school liable. Here in Alachua County, every time you turn around, they want to pass, we've had a big deal here recently, they want to pass some recreation initiatives. They want to buy up land for parks because the kids don't have any place to play. Well, one of the places they could play are the 74 schools around here that are huge. I mean, they've got huge, and what surrounds the school is something called a...
fence.
But inside the fence,
wire at the top.
But inside the fence is something called a playground.
What's that?
Well, it's a playground.
Where a shooting range playground, you mean?
Yeah, you wish.
No, it's a place where people can get hurt.
It's a place where people can get hurt. And so, you're not allowed to. So what you do is, you seal off the school with watchtowers and guard dogs,
mm-hmm.
and you march the kids over to the park.
Right.
And if you've seen the park up here... they play tag. They put in a special. I think the jungle gym they have here may be made out of foam rubber. I don't know. It's all different colors. But I'm guessing
they have a merry-go-round.
Ooh,
that's dangerous.
I'll tell you. I mean, you get slung off that sucker.
Yeah.
Let's hope. I mean, we try to do that?
I did it.
I mean, can you imagine what you used to do as a fun thing?
Right.
Was to have people put on a blindfold, spin around a whole bunch of times and act like you're drunk.
Right.
Without actually having a drink yet.
Right.
Until later.
Right.
You know, if you're 10 or 12 years old, you can go home and get drunk, but...
So what are you saying?
My point is that we've got all the parks we need, but because of this liability thing, mm-hmm. I don't know how the parks get off with it, because it's also a county-owned thing here, but apparently the parks have a special dispensation. I don't understand why they wouldn't allow on the school grounds. When I was a kid, we used to go up and play on a private school grounds, and they would come out and kick us off, and that made sense, and I got, you know, whumped on for that. The public school grounds, I think we used to go up there and play, and I don't think anybody would bother us back then. Of course, this was some years ago when they didn't have lawyers.
I used to fly my radio control airplane up here at the middle school until I hit a building.
Well, I think they're worried that if you play around the building that you're going to break into it, I think, and the kids will.
I broke into it, but it wasn't me.
So for all our kid listeners, no more playing tag. You may get hurt.
Yeah, that's right. No more playing. What is this?
What happened?
I just
I'm profound revelation.
No, well, I'm going through this and I'm pausing here momentarily because, unfortunately, in the stack of stuff here,
mm-hmm.
I found page 2 of what I was talking about 38 topics ago that is yellow lined and has important notes on it.
Right.
That was going to make something that it was boring beyond belief earlier
actually fun
to talk about. So
all right, we'll take your time, Bill, and then
that's right. We'll go back. So
that's right.
Okay, next is we have an election coming up, as you all know.
Mm-hmm.
And what are people talking about? Are they talking about the issues? No. Of course not. It's terror. It's
smear campaign.
It's smear campaign. And in today's paper, for instance, here it is, October 21st. In today's paper, they're talking, the candidates are accusing each other of engaging in smear campaigns, which they are. And so what? And it's going to happen.
It's because they're stupid. That's why.
That's right. And
when Homer calls you stupid.
Whoa. Yes.
You know there's
either you're really smart. You know, well, it's like when he said
this Hawking's, and he goes, your idea of a donut shaped universe is intriguing.
Well, how about when he bought the transmatter from the genius
journey? Yeah, you're the transporter, you mean?
The transporter, yeah.
he goes, so you want $2 for this? Well, yes. He goes, and it only transports matter, huh?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know. Yeah, but take a buck.
Yeah. And I love it. He puts one next to the couch, and he's peeing in it, and he has the other one upstairs in the bathroom.
Well, and then he also had one in front of the refrigerator, so he could get his beer.
Get his beer out, right?
Oh, my God. Well, that was a good one.
That was a great one.
That was a good one. Anyway, one of the favorite targets, which I find so ironic, the favorite targets are the lobbyists.
Mm-hmm.
Congress says, oh, those horrible lobbyists. Now,
they're always trying to screw you.
Yeah. What's so funny is that this is a little dance that they do, a little charade that they play. They probably got the lobbyist in the other room and said, look, you don't have to make any contributions to me right today. I'm going to go out there and nudge, nudge, wink, wink. I'm going to call you every name in the book. But, you know, really, all your legislation is still going to go through, right? You know that. So they go out, try the front door, and they point to the lobbyists and say, you are NRA. You food people, you know, ADM, or you, whoever, whatever lobbyists is, they call them every name in the book, and they say their opponent is the tool of lobbyists. You see, mm-hmm. He takes money, he does bad things, and he eats children. Mm-hmm. And you should not vote. And both of them, of course, do that. This is like a kabuki,
right,
that they go through. What's so funny about it is that they actually expect people to believe this. Unfortunately, people do. Mm-hmm. You only have to fool like 10 or 20% of the people, and which is easy to do given the government-run education system, which is an indoctrination system.
And since only 10% of the people vote,
that's what I meant. Those are the ones you have to fool,
yeah,
and you're done.
Yeah.
And but they always talk about special interests as if anything's going to change. On November 8th, the lobbyists in their $1,400 suits and their $900 shoes are going to stroll right back in as if nothing happened.
Right.
That's exactly right. But it's, again, this is another thing that even gives the hypocrisy I talked about earlier a bad, it gives another bad
name.
I mean, unbelievable.
It's a parasite of hypocrisy on the other hypocrisy.
The lobbyists write the legislation. Everybody knows that. Right. They make the campaign contributions. They throw the parties. They buy you. They find you the hookers. I mean, it doesn't get any better.
It's the slurm queen sucker
in
the butt.
Oh, my God. It's just unbelievable. And to think that actually they wasted ink on that. What a joke. Oh, my God. Anyway, so, okay, next thing.
Yeah, well, we're coming in like the last half hour here.
Yeah.
We got a lot of kind of fun stuff to talk about.
Well, the
Let's get into some of that.
Okay, let me just see.
And then we'll hit our light notes also, but we got some fun items before we get to the old.
Well, don't we have some?
What's fun?
Yeah, what's fun? Nothing.
Well, you know,
turkey
testicles. Turkey testicles are fun.
I like that. For some reason, I thought this was going to be fun. The FDA,
mm-hmm.
Federal Food and Drug Administration.
Food and Drug.
They're set to approve milk. Oh, I'm sorry. Milk. They're going to approve milk and meat from clones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is this
we're going to clone milk?
Well, apparently, if you clone a cow, apparently they're doing. I didn't realize this. I thought they'd done the Dolly, and that was it. Apparently, they're doing it right and left.
Why would you clone a cow?
Because this particular cow
made good
produces
milk.
Yeah, tons of milk.
Right.
And so you want to make sure that they have cow offs. You know where they
cow off?
Well, they do. They have a thing where
I'm scared to ask how you know that.
No, they have these things at the county fairs where they milk the bejesus out of these cows, and the one that produces the most.
My arms are getting tired. Messy's not done yet.
That's right. No, it gets to get laid by the big bull or something. I don't know, but it's. But they have got these things now. A normal wild cow, you know, puts out like a pint or something. Okay. And the domesticated ones here, they put out like gallons of milk an hour.
Well, they've been genetically bred.
Well, so anyway, the point is that there are some that are better than others, even though they're all genetically.
So it's worth a $10 million to clone these
cows? Well, I don't know about 10. I don't know. Apparently they've got it down.
Apparently it is.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that they don't have to take all of quite the same safeguards they would if they were to, say, clone, you know, moi.
Right. Because 4 years is not really going to affect the cow too much.
They're trying to make it so that one squoze and the cow is like a raisin.
That's right. It'll look like this little tiny cow splayed out on top of a big balloon. That's the udder. Legs never touch the ground.
It's like a wart on an apple or something.
That's right. What they want is the same thing you've got in the termite mound. You know, the queen.
Right.
It's this little tiny head, and the rest is all udder. So anyway, they're going to clone those, and it makes perfect sense.
Right.
So anyway, it turns out that some people come up and say, "Whoa, it's a clone, and therefore it's not like it's like radiated milk or something. It's not
right."
And
not
they want
natural,
the FDA.
Certainly not organic.
Well, you say that. But
there is no difference between a clone cow and the original cow.
No. And so they're just clones, as somebody said. You know, okay. And it's not like, why should the FDA get involved at all? It's the same damn animal.
Right.
I mean, it's like a twin or something.
Yeah,
only
it is a twin.
Only it's one generation. It's a little younger twin.
Right.
And
I keep saying we need to deal all that with Jessica Simpson and Claudia Schiffer and all that. We need to reclone all them.
I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. But an agency advisory panel, who obviously has nothing better to do, the National Academies, raised flags citing a paucity, there's no safety data. Well, there is, because it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have a name for these. They're called transgenic animals.
Mm-hmm.
No, these are transgenic.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was kind of...
Do they cross-dress?
I guess. Mm-hmm. You pay
more for the animal bordello for that, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. The animal bordello. This is a clone of the Jessica Simpson of cows.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll like this one.
Mm-hmm.
Tight.
Milk this.
Yeah, milk this. That's right. groups opposed to
it's
the...
It's a shame we're not streaming this to Murphy.
Oh, my God.
Live.
That's right. We'd be getting some IMs on this.
Yeah, it'd be lighting up like a Christmas
tree. Oh, my God. We actually, they're not even calling our 866-95-JIMMY. So anyway, the coalition of powerful food companies, it says here, concerned that the public will reject Dolly the Lamb Chops... and clonal cream in their coffee.
Wow.
I thought that was cute. I mean, they're probably going to have to label it, you know, like they do here. They have to label some of this stuff. You know, this is a cloned something.
Dolly
I don't know.
Parton. Just clone
Dolly.
So what? I think it's cloned Dolly Parton.
Whoa,
all right, let's keep talking about animals and get into the turkey.
Oh, you want to get into the turkey?
Yeah, let's take it.
Okay, where is that?
Big old fat turkey.
Yeah. It's a festival here
down here in Fort Myers, right?
Fort Myers,
4 hours from south of here.
That's right. It's
the
fourth annual. It's the Turkey Testicle Festival.
Of course,
catchy name.
It's a catchy name.
Mm-hmm. Turkey Testicle
Kinda
Festival.
Kind of fun to say.
Turkey Testicle Festival.
And,
Turkey Testicle Festival.
Say that 10 times fast,
mm-hmm.
and you
would,
especially after your beers. But the point is that the organizers of the fourth annual Turkey Testicle Festival can keep the name despite concerns about the propriety of a word about the island's virtue. Whoa.
An island has a virtue?
Well, I don't know. It's Fort Myers Beach.
It was a family island or something.
Yeah, Fort Myers is a family. Fort Myers is sort of Naples North, only the poor half of it.
And so now the children, of course, they might hear the word
testicle.
They are going to learn.
And
testicle.
So they're going to. That's how.
And they're going to call their best buddy Testicle, Tommy the Testicle.
That's
ah,
right.
Ah.
Aha, right. And anyway, the town council has to approve the names of special events. I mean, it's unbelievable that they, mm-hmm. you know, you can't just go out and have a festival anymore. You got to have permission.
Name approved.
Oh, my God.
And we
do have youngsters here, says a guy named Reynolds. We're trying to uplift their thinking.
Uplift my testicle.
Yeah, right. Uplift this.
So it's a small digression. You know, Jimmy, now if you type in testicle in any search, now Jimmy Doan will come up too.
Oh, that's right. True. That's right.
We'll say testicle one more time.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So,
and utter.
So now, utter
is like a breast, of course, on Dolly Parton's breast.
Vagina, penis.
And then, that's right. That's right. And,
coming to you live.
Coming to you live.
ZTMK.
That's right. Osama nuclear bomb blow up. Terror. terrorist airplane.
Mafia.
That's right, Mafia, AK-47.
Columbine.
Taliban, that's right, Taliban, and Hamas, and Hezbollah.
Jihad.
That's right, Jihad.
And wait, and let's not forget Hugo Chavez.
Hugo Chavez.
Fidel
Castro.
We did get a search.
We got a Hugo ping.
Yeah, they typed Hugo Chavez and one other
George Bush or something.
Yeah, I don't know, Hugo Chavez. Yeah.
But we actually came up on a search for.
We came screaming to the front of that.
I was writing somebody. They were asking, and I told them that I said on Google, if you type in libertarian podcast, we come up like all over the place, number one, number uno, all the time.
Right. I mean, and that's thankful to me.
Yeah, well, yes, thank you. We understand that. The fact that you can even hear this
actually,
show.
Actually, I did a lot of work to keep us that way this week, too.
That's right. I saw that. You got us on that the archives on the other website.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. For all our listeners out there, we're actually hacking into your computer directly, too.
Yeah, that's right.
So you know. So
but yeah, you and with
it doesn't matter what you search for anymore.
Well, as a little,
it doesn't matter. I'm on searching for not libertarian podcasts. We're going to come up.
Not Jimmy Doan.
That's right. Yeah. Not Jimmy Doan.
As a little, actually,
every search word except for right. Jimmy Doan, and we still come up.
Anything but Jimmy Doan, right. We're flying.
If you do type in Jimmy Doan, we come up quite a bit in Google.
Oh yeah.
No, we do.
Yeah, quite a bit. But actually, as a little bonus value added to the show, I will tell some listeners some things. If you do have a personal website and you do want it to come up, the big key is to make sure that you've got your keyword terms that you want to. Make sure they're not too broad. In other words, if you're a travel company, don't put travel, you know, put like travel in the city that you're in, so that way at least it narrows it down to 1 billion to just 10. And then make sure it's in the page titles. That's the thing that Google really looks at. And then you have to actually put it into the text on your pages, and that'll typically help you out quite a bit. So, you know, a little bit of
tips from the expert.
Tips from the expert there.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, I had to dump a bunch of our archive pages off because I was getting too much text that didn't have the word podcast, and I had to move those over to Freak Brothers.
That makes sense, yeah.
It's okay. You can still get there from
Yeah, you can still get
show.
There, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that. And let me ask you a question, which reminds me. I got a hit off my blog. Now the blog is on Jimmy Doan.
Jimmy
right?
Doan, you can blog us.
In other words, mm-hmm. And the way it works is it comes up. It's at Blogspot. It's Jimmy. What is it? Jimmy Doan at Blogspot or Jimmy at Blogspot is where the blog is, but it's linked to
the
website.
From our site.
And you what you can do is you can add comments to what I put up there. I've been writing a little more often.
I use JimmyDoan.blogspot.com, but I'm not positive. Set it up, not me.
Well, let me just see here real quick. I can take a look and find out where this has gone. I don't think it's too much to ask that I. Well, anyway, I usually get to it through. Believe it or not, what's funny about this, I get to it from my favorite blog that I go to almost every day is Fake Steve Jobs.
Right.
Because I'm being a Macintosh fanatic that I am.
Mm-hmm.
This Fake Steve Jobs is probably one of the funniest and well written blogs that I've ever seen, and I would like to emulate the guy to some extent, but he pretends. I mean, he calls himself Fake Steve Jobs, but
it is hilarious.
It is hysterical, especially if you're a Macintosh aficionado person, as I am, sitting here on my G5. Soon to be, by the way, hopefully, after the first year, Jimmy's going to upgrade everything.
Oh, yeah? What you going to get, Jimmy?
Well, Jimmy's going to get a new Mac, like this one here, probably the 20-incher.
With the Intel dual-core
chip. The Intel dual-core.
So you can run PC stuff on it?
PC stuff on
it. See, that's great.
Yeah, and then I'm going to get a new one over there where you are.
Ooh.
I haven't decided whether to get a Windows Vista-type machine for you.
No Vista.
No Vista for
you. No, hell no.
Really?
Nobody out there in listener land ever get Vista.
Really?
No, it's a total dog bomb. It's going to be... Well, anytime Windows comes out with a new operating system, you first of all have to wait for a while for the thing to become stable. And...
Well, no, but it's been out now for the last 6 months, apparently. They've been patching it. They got 5 million beta users.
Right. And I know about 10 of them that are really strong, and they said... I put it on there, used it for about 10 minutes, and after it crashed, everything that I've ever done in my entire life, I took it off. And they said it's not near being ready.
Okay, let me just, while you're listening here, because I did pull it up while you were talking, and I was listening to you. It is http://, jimmydoan.blogspot.com.
That's what I said before.
Okay, you were right. I don't know how these things go. This is like technical stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I was a geek in the tube days. Okay,
right.
It's for me, my life ended with the 6V6 audio tube, you know? And 12AT7.
Right.
You know, anything, if you ran an appliance with that didn't have 200 or 300 or 400 volts on the plate, See, I don't know. Then less than that, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. Now, Jimmy's alarm clock had Nixie tubes on the top.
Oh, no question. Oh, yeah. And you understand that that's because Nixie tubes run 170 volts.
Right.
That's right. That's no question. No, no.
For those of you that don't know, those are the tubes that have, like, all the little numbers in a tube, and it lights up with gas. Like a neon sign.
It's like a little neon sign.
Right, right. And,
no, it's, no, this is, they were very popular for a while. And
great article in Nuts and Bolts on how to build your Nixie clock.
Right, we're gonna own this.
Yeah, yeah, that's
gonna
be cool. That.
So, all right, so we have certainly digressed.
That's okay.
No, we've done well.
We don't care.
Because we're not on the air.
That's right.
So that's right.
So you get kind of a special podcast.
That's
today.
A special podcast. I got IMs from Norway and from Hollister, and they said nasty things. No, they said
no air.
No air. Sorry. You know, please post it quickly.
Right. Hey, did you guys changing subject here? Steve Wynn. Did you hear about this one?
Oh.
Steve Wynn, multi-million dollar casino magnate.
He's a billionaire.
Okay, billionaire.
He's multi-billionaire. I mean, he's rich.
Well, he's a little less rich now, but it probably didn't affect him. So he's got the Picasso.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he was selling the Picasso.
$139 million,
and what poked his finger through the middle.
Oops.
After the sale, it had already been signed. Papers
right,
already
right,
signed.
Right, right.
$139 million, sold to number 43.
Right, right.
And then he turns around, apparently knocked it with his elbow, and punctures a hole right in the middle of the Picasso.
Well, I thought
at least he was going. He's like, oh, well, thank heavens it was me.
Yeah,
right.
Because if it was you, I would have killed you.
Well, I thought it was interesting that Wynn had decided to release the buyer from the sale agreement.
Well, that was nice to him.
Yeah,
well,
nice, right. After he pumps a hole in it, you buy it, you break it, you buy it, or something like that.
Hey, you know what? In this day and age, it's probably going to be more valuable because of all the publicity around it.
Yeah, we're talking about on the Jimmy Doan show. Come on.
There you go. Instantaneous doubling of value.
I thought that was funny, sir.
Yeah, well, I thought the once again, as I so often tell you, the last sentence of so many of these articles actually has
our meat.
Has a piece of meat in it. Wynn, a millionaire casino developer and art collector, developed the Mirage and Bellagio resorts in Las Vegas in the 1990s, which spearheaded a profusion of luxury hotels and casinos on the once seedy Las Vegas Strip. Now, I don't know.
Did it ever become unseedy?
Well, I can tell. Well, it is now, but I can tell you, as a frequent visitor in the 70s, it wasn't seedy then. The Strip wasn't. Seedy was downtown.
Right.
People don't realize the Strip is like 5 miles or something. It's like out of town.
Right.
And
did you gamble in Vegas?
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Blaming them bumblebees.
Well, as they say, what you take to Vegas stays in Vegas. A fair chunk of my money stayed in Vegas.
Plus 10%.
That's right. Well, they did fly me out there for free, but I quote free.
Well, Mrs. Jimmy's a big Wayne Newton fan, isn't she?
Yeah, well, she went out there actually without moi.
Don't blame her.
Yeah, don't blame her. And and went out there to see. Yeah, we saw Wayne Newton. I guess every time we went out there, we've seen Wayne Newton.
He is
just about the best show in Vegas. He is fantastic. And there's a reason for it. I mean, there's a reason he's been there every night for
30 years
right, at least. Right. He's really good. Has a really good show.
I think Elvis even had like something like 800 consecutive shows at the Hilton or something like that.
Yeah, well, yeah. I went and saw him once.
Really?
Yep.
I saw
the king, and actually before he got fat.
Really?
Yep. It was before he died.
I did not know that.
Really? Before he died.
That's
great.
A dear friend of mine. In fact, one of the reasons we had to go, we were out there with some people, and one of the girls that we were with us had to own a scarf. I don't know if you know this, but part of his act is he has a scarf. Yeah, he sweats.
Yeah, right.
And he has a scarf around his neck, and he hands out in the front row of the people clamoring on the stage. He wipes his brow and then hands the scarf to some lucky girl. And he does about five or six of those a night.
Huh. Yeah, the girls or the scarves, you mean?
Well, the girls later for sure.
Right.
But if you got the scarf.
The scarf, but I'm sure that she still owns that scarf to this day. Yep, that was Monica.
Sell them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sell that.
No, we can give away on Jimmy Doan show.
Yeah, I'll call her up. I'll call her up and ask her if she doesn't want that thing anymore. He did.
All right, let's kick in my last 10 so minutes here. Let's kick into light notes.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I know he's got a lot. I'll start off with the Darwin Awards here.
Oh, yeah. No, tell me about that.
2006 Darwin Awards. We've talked about these before for our loyal listeners out there.
The Darwin Awards are things that people do.
Not everybody
they
knows
died.
Darwin. Survival of the fittest. So,
right. Or
so
unsurvival.
Unsurvival
of the non-fit.
Right. If you're a dumbass, you're out of here. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So there's, top six, fun. There's some funny, one guy, It's a 22-year-old boy here, Mammoth Mountain out in California, I believe.
Mammoth Mountain, we've been there.
That's right. It's a ski mountain.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Big Bear. It's up near Big Bear.
Well, it's you know, he and his friends, a fun thing. If you've been skiing, most of our listeners probably been skiing out there. They have the poles of the lift there, and they usually wrap these large pads around them to protect skiers, obviously, from running into the poles. So these boys, I'd say, I'm guessing, had some beer or alcoholic beverage in them. But they went out, they unwrapped the pads off of the poles, and then they would slide down the mountain. Which is a great thing to do, as long as you don't run into the pole that you took the pad off of.
Right. These are like mattresses that they wrap around. They're like big foam mattresses that they, so they take them off the thing and then use them like a sled.
Like a sled. Jump on them, they're slick as snot, cruising down nonstop, and obviously no way to control these things. And unfortunately, the 22-year-old boy did, was pronounced dead at 3 a.m. after he slammed into the pole.
3 a.m.
3 a.m. Well, like I said, that tends to, you know, might have been some alcohol involved.
That went on to that. There's some darkness involved.
Yeah, there's certainly some dumbass involved.
That's right. So. Okay, progeny shall not issue forth from there.
That's right. All right, so the front, you know, second place, Oregon man shot through the skull by a hunting arrow.
Whoa.
He's lucky to be alive and will be released soon from the hospital. Tony Roberts, 25, lost his right eye last weekend during an initiation into a men's rafting club. So guess what happened here? The old beer can on the head, and your best buddy is going to shoot it off of your head with an arrow.
A beer can. That tells you. Now, what happened to the beer, he asked? Oh, the best buddy has the beer.
Right. A friend tried, we emphasize tried, to shoot a beer can off his head, but the arrow decided to enter Robert's right eye instead.
William Tell has not done any well on this. That's bye.
Well, Roberts is
cool. I am invincible! Invincible! You're ow!
Robert admitted afterwards that he and his friends had been drinking a little, you know, and his quote, as you say, it's always the last quote is the best, said Roberts, "I feel so dumb about this."
Really? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Okay. And finally, to wrap it up, this year's winner, a John Pernicki, it's kind of a long one, so we'll get in this. John Pernicki and his friend Sal Hawkins, two geniuses, obviously, of the great state of Washington, decided to attend a local Metallica concert.
Hmm. Nothing wrong with that. No problem there.
Except they didn't have any tickets.
Okay, well, that's a small problem.
That's right.
So, you can get some scalper tickets, or you climb over a fence or something.
Right, so they decided to have just 18 beers between them. So, and they thought it'd be easy to just hop over the 9-foot fence, sneak right into the show.
Sure.
No one will ever know.
That's right.
Listen to Metallica all night. So they pulled up their pickup over the fence. Plan was for the big guy to jump over first and then help the little guy down. Obviously look before your leap was not something that his parents taught him.
Uh-huh.
Decided to jump over the fence. Found himself a 30-foot drop on the other side of the fence. 30-foot drop.
Kablamo!
That's right. Although he was lucky, he didn't immediately fall the full 30 feet. His fall was halted briefly by a large branch.
Oh, well, there you go.
From a tree, right? That's right. And he broke the branch and his arm. Dangling from the tree with a broken arm, he looked down, saw some nice bushes below him, possibly thinking the bushes might break his fall.
There you go. Yeah, sure.
That's right. He removed his pocket knife, cut away his shorts to free himself from the tree. That's right. Finally free, Mr. Pernicki crashed into holly bushes. The sharp leaves scratched his entire body. Yes. And now without the protection of his shorts, which remember he cut off and left in the tree there, a holly branch penetrated his rectum. All right, so not over
now
yet.
He's alive.
Jimmy.
Oh,
not over yet.
Okay, not over.
Not over yet.
It went on.
Oh, this is just the beginning.
To make
matters worse, upon landing, okay, his pocket knife, which he had out, you know, penetrated his thigh. Okay, so now the little guy Hawkins, still up at the top, seeing his friend in what they considered a considerable pain and agony, I would have to agree, threw him a rope and attempted to try to pull him safely, you know, pull him up to safety by tying the rope to the pickup and slowly driving away. However, remember, with the 9 or 10 beers in him, instead of a drive, he hit reverse.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. The truck crashed 30 feet over, landed on his friend, killed him instantly. Police arrived to find the crashed pickup with its driver thrown 100 feet from the truck and dead at the scene from massive internal injuries. Upon moving the truck, they found John deceased under it. half naked, scratches on his body, a holly stick in his rectum, a knife in his thigh, and his shorts dangling from a tree branch 25 feet in the air.
All to see Metallica?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Worth it.
And congratulations, gentlemen. You win the Darwin Award, and some more idiots have been removed from the gene pool.
Oh,
big round of applause.
That's two for the price of one. Thank you, Metallica.
Yeah, long story, but worth it.
So. No, worth every bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I have to do is to find that story where the guy walks up and says, I'm having a brain tumor here at the end of the show.
A brain tumor.
Yeah, where the guy walks up and says, what happened to your hand? He says, oh, it's soot from the fire. Oh, what the fire? Well, it was back, and he goes back on back and back and back. Finds out the guy's wife has died, he gets raped and everything else. Oh, that was from the fire. What was the fire engine doing there? Well, they were there to put out the, you know, on and on. It gets worse and worse, like this thing here.
I need skinning it.
Yes, exactly.
All right,
exactly.
We got some more light notes here.
You got something special?
I got a few.
I got a
really light note here. The Wirefly X Prize Cup is going on,
right
today,
now.
Psych. No, right. For you podcast listeners. No, it was last weekend, or this weekend, October 20th, 21st, but it was cool because they had great live coverage on the web. But anyway, there was basically a couple of different, there were some demonstrations on some, this is basically a continuation of the X Prize that Bart Rutan won when you had to send somebody up, well, actually the equivalent of three people up until 60 or 100 kilometers up and then back down and do it twice.
Into space.
Right, in 2 weeks. Well, they're continuing on with that. And what they're doing is they're doing some rocket launches. They had some big hybrids out there today, and which are nitrous oxidized plastic fuel type stuff that they were shooting them off. But they have a lunar lander competition, which is the big deal.
That's the big deal.
So what they're doing, and I saw some of the flights. They're on the web. So if you go to, you know, look up for SpaceX or whatever.
Space.
X Prize Cup. And basically they had to take off from one pad and fly up something like 150 feet, and then you had to go over 100 meters and then land on another pad and then refuel and do it back again. And I know one team at least did that. And then the other team was getting ready to fly today, but they had some spectacular videos on there. Unfortunately, they ruined it by putting, like, crappy music in the background. And
all the
engineers are like, well, I mean, I'm saying, if, you know, unfortunately, right now, if you were watching it live, you could see it live, but since you was a podcast and you're getting it dead, so you're dead. Hopefully they'll have a video you can buy or something like that.
You're gonna, of course, mix this podcast, so it should be up in, what, 20, 30 minutes or what?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
Actually, I had Laura help me out last time. She did a great job, editing, and I'm trying to, like, get somebody else so I can actually have a Sunday off, you know, once in a while. That'd be nice. So anyway, yeah, look for that. The Wirefly X Prize Cup is, so look for that on the web, and maybe you can buy a video of it.
Well, now this X Prize thing brings up something. Is this at all convinced with this DARPA stuff that goes on the autonomous?
No, that's different.
That's a different prize.
Right, that's a different prize. That one's now they're moving that off the desert, which they won three teams crossed the finish line in the desert, which was, what, 150-mile track or something like that?
Yeah, there was some Volkswagen or something won it.
Yeah, and they had a Hummer, and they had something else. Well, we said right off the bat to do the Hummer. But anyway, now they're going to take them, turn them down loose downtown somewhere, right?
Right.
Now, the DARPA, you're saying, is the Defense Advanced Research Project.
Yeah, which
agency.
Is military.
Right, which is military, but it's the research arm for the Pentagon, for the military. And, they're the ones that came up, supposedly, or they actually did come up with the Internet.
And
they gave it away because they had to, because the Internet wasn't secure enough, obviously.
Right.
Thank you, Bill Gates and Windows and whatever.
Right, that's right.
But no,
they hold a contest every year.
They hold a contest for this, as we saw, it was on the Discovery Channel or whatever.
Right.
When they ran the 150 miles through the desert, the first year, nobody made it out of the chute, practically. They made it like 5 miles and died.
Right.
And but the second year they did well. So now they're up the stakes, and apparently you have to drive through the city and avoid traffic and stop at the stoplights and everything, all autonomously.
Mm-hmm.
Only no human intervention.
And the winner gets what?
Well, the winner was going to get $2.7 million. That was the prize. Turns out that a bill signed by the President Bush just recently made it so that that went to zero. And what they're going to get is a little trophy now, a little shiny trophy. Well, of course, needless to say,
That's worth it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is, one of the things that's interesting, Congress has mandated that one-third of the military vehicles by 2015 are to be autonomous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, totally, like, right out of the Schwarzenegger thing, you know, the
Terminator.
Less than 9 years, they're saying.
Yeah, less than 9 years, supposed to be like Skywarn or whatever
Skynet.
Skynet, yeah, right. And so anyway, they're going to hand out shiny trophies to the top three teams. And they said, somebody indicated, they said, well, you know, this prize money is kind of a motivator for some people. And somebody else, else says, nah, they just do it for the fun. I'm thinking, bullshit. You know, you think about it, you're in your garage and you're a genius kid and you think, well, you know, I could win. I mean, right. I'm not going to go for it for zero.
Well, you know, building a card or building a house out of cards, you know, is fun. But these research prizes, people spend tens of thousands of dollars on them.
That's true. But if it was just that, I mean, the chances of actually winning the $2.7 million is better than the lottery. But the simple fact is, if you are willing to spend, it seems to me, like you say, tens of thousands of dollars. And DARPA actually handed out some seed money to some of the better ones. You know, of course, picking winners and losers is always a problem. But the thing is, if you've got that carrot hanging out there, I don't care who you are and what these guys say here. They're saying, well,
it's going to be an incentive.
Yeah, it's going to be incentive. They said,
and it might bring in people that otherwise wouldn't
do it. There's no question. There's no question. You have not repealed the law of supply and demand. You have not repealed incentives for people. Right. And I can tell you right now that if it was... I can tell you for a fact that I'll bet you that $1 million, even though it cost them more to do that space thing, I bet you wouldn't have been done for if it wasn't for that.
$10 million. Burton spent 20 on the thing.
Right, but I'll bet you that Nobody would have done it anyway. And even though, I mean, I just know that.
No.
Because that's part of the deal is that you won the money.
Right. Well, and it does help offset your costs. A lot of those teams didn't have $20 million in
there. And then it helps you complete if you do win, then you can bring your product to, you know.
Or, yeah, right. Well, you can bet that the second one, no matter what the first one costs, you can bet if you win that the second one is going to cost you like nothing. I mean, it's always, as somebody once told me, first 2007 Ford off the assembly line cost $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
They're selling them for, you know, $20,000. Why? Right. Because that's what
it works. Richard Branson's new spaceship that they're selling tickets for $199,000.
Virgin Galactic.
Mm-hmm. That's basically just a steroided version of the one that Melville and Brian Binney went up in.
Yeah.
You know.
So.
You know,
speaking of going up.
Well, I can tell you on the X Prize, on the Wirefly X Prize Cup, NASA is providing a $2 million prize money for the competition, and it's broken down into four prizes. The level one, which is, like I said, you got to take up and go 150 feet, stay airborne for at least 90 seconds, then land at a landing pad over 300 feet away.
Is this autonomous?
Yes, fully autonomous.
Whoa.
That's $350,000 for the first prize and $150,000 for second. The level two challenge, which you have to stay hovered twice as long, is $1 million to the winner and $500,000 for second place. So I can tell you, those people wouldn't be out there, and they had some pretty sophisticated looking stuff.
Well, you think about it today, as we've talked about so often.
They had liquid
Moore's
nitrogen
law.
And stuff.
Well,
liquid stuff.
Yeah,
frozen.
Fun.
Yeah.
Ooh, like that. Throw a banana in there.
Yeah, I just wanted to see one like fly over in the crowd.
Yeah,
have everybody like frozen like the Terminator. You know,
yeah, right.
Like,
that's
like,
right.
You guys,
just every the whole crowd like, just frosted.
Ooh, they're gonna be pissed when they thaw.
Yeah. When you realize what computing power is doing these days, I mean, every day that goes by, a lot of the stuff involves computing power and memory has recently taken another big leap down. I don't know if you know this, but less than, I'd say, 6-8 months ago, to buy a 1 gig USB chip, what do they call it, flash drive, or what do they call them, was $60 or $70. That's the cheapest you can get, and now they're $20 and cheaper for 1 gig.
Mm-hmm. They're coming out with a new one soon.
Well, no, but my point is that all of this stuff is getting so cheap now. They got the dual core. They got a lot of the chips now are being specially designed so that they don't radiate so much heat or eat up so much power, as on and on and on. And this autonomous stuff is going to be a lot. The electronics part of it is going to be a lot cheaper.
Absolutely.
And,
well, my God, you can go over there and get nuts and volts. You can buy three-axis accelerometer for $35.
Is that like a flux capacitor?
That's like free. No,
flux capacitor. Yes, it's the flux capacitor.
Exactly. Well, I can tell you that Engineer Eric actually does have engineering experience in the aerospace field, because we entered the college AUVS competition, which was the Association for Unmanned Vehicle Systems, and ours was the air one, where we had to actually take off from a 10-foot by 10-foot pad and hover, and then we had to go around this 75 by 150 foot field and look for barrels that were buried in, well, they were like simulated
terrorists.
Barrels.
Look for terrorists.
No.
These are free terrorists.
But anyway, we had to like read the labels on the barrel and decide if it was biotoxic, pyrotechnic, or nuclear waste, and then you had to pick up a sample material. And of course, it was a very difficult competition. We're talking, this is 10 years ago. And for our
before computers,
this is pretty much, we had a souped up 386 on board.
Oh my God.
And so, I mean, this is, and it weighed like a couple pounds, you know, and that was a lot of weight, because our first craft could only lift like 40 pounds. We had these two engines in there cranking as best we could, but it was interesting. But we got fourth place our first year trying, and third place our second year trying, and we would have won it actually if that we had the guy would have turned in the paper with an ending on it. But you know, it goes in college. You get working too much, and you just can't finish the stupid.
Well, it's all extracurricular. That was a big deal down in Epcot or someplace.
Oh, yeah. We were on the Discovery Channel four different times.
Oh, my God.
For building flying robots. And that's when DARPA got interested in this.
Right.
And that's when they spawned off and did the land competition, because then the year after, 2 years after I left, they decided to integrate aerial vehicles with ground vehicles. And I don't know how that thing's – I think that whole thing's falling apart because Rob Mickelson, the guy who put it together, I think he kind of – he got a big contract from the government to build micro UAVs, so I think he kind of like said, "Well, I'm gonna make, yeah, I'm going down the islands with my stuff, whatever."
Yeah, hell yeah,
I would too. Yeah. I don't blame him at all.
No. Leave your notes here. You have.
If I can ever find those videos, actually, I think I know where they are. But I might post them on the
GBS.
Put them on
GBS.com.
Yeah, well, on YouTube. You mean you put them on YouTube?
Yeah.
Put them on YouTube. That's what everybody else does. That's okay. Cool. Speaking of going up, though, what if that space elevator?
And matter of fact, they have a space elevator competition also.
Is that an XPRIZE thing or not?
Yes, it's an XPRIZE thing. And they had a high school team out there that was actually using laser beams, and some of the guys were using microwaves, and they actually have a carbon fiber ribbon, and they're traversing that right now.
I mean, the idea is you're supposed to, let me get this straight. You're supposed to go out here in your backyard, and you've got this, like, string or something that goes up.
Into outer space.
Goes up, 100,000. What goes into synchronous?
It goes 60 miles up.
63,000.
I mean, no, it's
63,000.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that works, because geosynchronous normally is 142,000.
Yeah, but you got to have a counterweight on the other side to be able to counteract for the payloads that are going up and down.
Right, okay, whatever. Anyway, yeah.
You
guys
just
lost
half our audience there, man.
Okay.
Well, actually, some of our audience is technical.
Yeah. No, that's right.
Stitcherino's still hanging in there. Jeff and Gina are hanging in there.
Maybe they can explain it. Hey, Stitch, you explain this.
Again, they're offering nearly $500,000.
I think what they're planning on doing, though, I thought you just like get in this thing like a phone booth, and say up,
like Willy Wonka.
Yeah. And you
like
go
a
up, but no,
the space elevator.
Yeah. Well, no, but yeah. Can you imagine?
That's 60 miles an hour, so you got to go a long way.
Well, and there's no bathroom or anything. No, I think what they're that's true. Out the window. Yeah. Yeah. Don't stand under the elevator. So the deal is, I know what they're going to do.
What is this big umbrella thing? just stand underneath it.
What they're going to do is send stuff up.
Yes.
Only stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Right. Well, they're going to find some way to get it away from there. You can't just go up there and light rocket fuel off. I mean, maybe we can
light a fart.
Yeah, right. Well, I was thinking magnetically throw it up there or something.
How about illegal immigrants? We just send them up. Huh?
Well, yeah. anyway, but that to me is so everything's crazy. The way I thought, I did like this one quote. Everything's crazy until it's done. Rockets were crazy before they were done. Everything that wasn't done so far is called crazy. We like to do these things.
Absolutely. That is the point.
So I ask you, engineer person, are we going to have a space elevator in your lifetime?
Interesting. They're having
nanotubes.
Competitions for everything. That's the part of the deal. They're having competitions to try to.
We love nanotubes.
I know. Well,
have you? I mean, nanotubes are like strong. They're strong.
I always keep saying lifetime is such a relative term. It really depends on the age of spiritual machines. If we get to rebuild ourselves at the nano level and live forever. And,
cool.
I mean, if that's
can
the
we
case,
have sex?
Yes. The answer is yes.
But I mean, my point is, can you have sex if you're that small? Of course, the girls.
No. You got to realize now. You don't have the technology can come around where you don't have to be a micron in size to live forever.
You have a big one.
You just replenish. The goal is to just nano engineers our bodies as they exist.
I know,
but also
there's certain parts that I'd like to nano engineer.
I agree with you 100%. I can definitely use a little extraneous enhancement,
a little
type
nano
stuff.
Work. Yeah,
a little nano. I'm thinking more macro work.
Okay, well, that too.
The nanos make the macro.
Emails coming.
Jack's got to take off.
Jack's got to go. Emails coming.
So,
Jimmy@jimmydone.com.
That's right. And so don't forget HangerDogs at hangerdogs.com.
HangerDogs.com.
And right. Stefan Molyneux for your fix. He does at freedomain.com.
Yes,
Jack, Eric, or Curtis can all accept email as well.
That's right.
@jimmydone.com.
And actually, I did add ERIC in case it's out there and misspell my name.
Oh, yeah. Well, you should. Okay, yeah. It's too bad you can't put a thing that has an auto responder on that. Say comes back to you and says it's ERIK buffoon.
Right. I could. Yeah.
You need to put an auto responder that just says you spelled it wrong, dummy.
Right.
Remember, if you can't remember our name, it's dbag@jimmydone.com.
That's right. Well, it's great to be here. Your new lava lamp.
Oh, yeah.
I saw it. That's a nice one.
Yeah. Hey, this one for a dollar is working like a charm.
Yeah,
right here.
Now it is. Yeah.
It's groovy.
So now, I won some stuff on eBay, too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I got a 12,000 volt, 60 milliamp.
The 60,
transformer.
60 milliamps is
That's
good.
The good one, yeah. I mean, it's not
it's
as
Jacob's
good as
ladder time for
Jacob's
you.
Ladder time for me, and I got some cool Tesla coil standoff things that are really nice looking. I'm going to build some stuff, and we'll play with it over here. And
we need to put some more stuff
on.
Now that YouTube's been bought by whoever, Google, right?
Right.
We need to start posting some of this stuff on YouTube and link it.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
We'll look for it on the website.
Now, listen, by the way, which reminds me, can you put that on the donation part? Can you put that one of those little graphics that I sent you up there with it?
Yeah, I need to do something. I got an idea.
You got nothing else to do.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Come on. You got nothing else to do.
Hey.
I did want to talk about the scientist going towards invisibility. We're going to be invisible. Oh. And the Stingray revenge.
Yeah, the Stingray revenge.
Suicide Stingray, for God's sakes.
Well, you know, he's taking revenge for everybody else, killing the Stingrays off the coast of Alaska.
I thought that the Stingray had been recruited by Al-Qaeda. It's a suicide Stingray. It's
Muhammad Atta the Stingray.
Muhammad Atta.
Did it have a little turban on it?
No, and it wasn't. The next one's going to have a bomb on it, though. It jumps out. I'm telling you.
Right.
It's a suicide stingray. It killed itself.
Terrorist Ray.
Killing this guy. Terrorist Ray. I know that if you had spoken to it in Al-Qaeda language, it would have responded.
Jihad. It committed jihad on that 81-year-old fisherman.
It's spawning the new terrorists. The new terrorists look like stingrays. What's the government going to do? How are they going to protect us?
I don't know. We'll catch you all on the next one.
Thanks for listening.
All
right.
Thank you. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Jimmy.
You're very welcome.
I'm not thanking you, counselor. I'm having a good time.
He likes pina coladas.
They turned the tequila out from the bar. You don't have to ask for it.
Oh, right. Like, don't even bother.
Don't ask.
Yeah, right, right.
Don't ask.
There's
just
a beer, too.
It's like a little, you know, the beer, you knew that. But they have it's like a little barrel with a faucet on it.
Right.
And you just go to get tequila.
No. Tequila.
We're not even going to ask.
No, not even going to ask.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.